This week on Paranormally Speaking. Hi, I'm your host, Neil Parks. This week on Paranormally Speaking, I'll be discussing alien abduction claims and examine those. Mark H. says he was abducted by aliens. He clearly remembers awakening one night, unable to move anything but his eyes. He saw flashing lights, heard buzzing sounds, experienced feelings of levitation, and felt electric tingling sensations. Most terrifying were the non-human figures he saw by his bed. Mark believes that they were aliens. Later, he underwent hypnosis to try to recall exactly what had happened to him. Under hypnosis, Mark remembered being whisked away through an open window to a large spaceship. He was very frightened when the aliens took him into some kind of a medical examining room. There, he had sex with one of them. Afterward, the aliens brought him back to Earth and returned him to his bed. Mark describes the experience as terrifying, but did it really happen? Some researchers at Harvard University devised an experiment to determine if memories of an abduction by aliens would provoke the same psychological reactions that occur when other people, such as combat veterans and those who survive deadly car accidents, recall their traumatic experiences. Richard McNally, a professor of psychology, and his colleagues recruited 6 women and 4 men who claimed they had been spirited away by extraterrestrials, some of them more than once. Under hypnosis, 7 of the 10 reported having had their sperm or eggs extracted for breeding purposes or experiencing direct sexual contact with the space aliens. Each of these people were interviewed by either McNally or Susan Clancy, also a professor of psychology. Each also wrote a script that told the story of his or her own abduction. The research team then made audio tapes, yes, audio tapes, spoken in a neutral voice from the scripts. The abductees listened to these tapes in the laboratory of Scott Orr at the Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Manchester, New Hampshire. As the tapes played, the researchers recorded their emotional responses using such measures as heart rate and the sweat on palms of their hands. The same procedure was done with 8 people haunted by traumatic experiences unrelated to abduction by aliens. When the 2 sets of measurements were compared, the results were striking. Abductees showed surprisingly strong psychological reactions to the tapes of their alien encounters. Their reactions were as great or greater than those of individuals who cannot shake memories of combat, sexual abuse, or other punishing events. McNally announced these findings on February 16, 2024, at a meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science in Denver. The results underscore the power of emotional belief. He noted people who sincerely believe they have been abducted by aliens show patterns of emotional and psychological responses to these memories that are strikingly similar to those people who have been genuinely traumatized by combat or similar events. Dreaming with their eyes open. Neither McNally nor the other Harvard researchers ever considered the possibility that people in the study or anybody else was ever abducted by space aliens. But if not, what produced their lasting vivid memories? The researchers tie such abduction stories to a phenomenon they call dreaming with your eyes wide open. The episodes occur just as people awaken from a dream. Dreams include full body paralysis, a nice adaptation that prevents people from jumping out of bed to escape their demons or otherwise making moves in a dream that could injure them in reality. The sleeper awakens from a dream before the paralysis goes away and experiences hallucinations like seeing flashing lights and some kinds of living things lurking around the bed. Sleep paralysis is common and no more indicative of mental illness than a hiccup, the researchers point out, but when the hallucination and paralysis occur together, many people find the combination frightening and they attempt to find a meaning in it. Some individuals, however, consult psychiatrists or psychologists who hypnotize them to recover presumably repressed memories that lie behind the strange events. During such sessions, a person may recover false memories or being transported up into spacecraft where they were subjected to medical or sexual experiments. Psychological interviews and tests conducted on these abductees reveal little evidence of mental illness, but they enjoy a rich fantasy life. When they listen to music or watch movies, they often imagine they are somewhere else or part of the movie plot. The typical abductee, notes McNally, has a long-standing interest in New Age practices and beliefs such as reincarnation, astral projection, mental telepathy, and alternative healing practices, energy therapies, and astrology. He and his colleagues conclude a combination of pre-existing New Age beliefs, episodes of sleep paralysis accompanied by hallucinations, and hypnotic memory recovery may foster beliefs and memories that one has been abducted by space aliens. Another possibility would be ghosts, hags, and incubi. Such combinations give a rise to a variety of interpretations across cultures throughout history, McNally points out. Not everyone who has been scared by this experience imagines they have been abducted by aliens. A hallucination upon awakening from a dream might be interpreted as a visit from a ghost or Satan himself. In Newfoundland, people have encounters with the old hag, a witch who gets on your bed with you hundreds of years ago, would do this. In Europe, people feared the incubus, an evil spirit that lies on people while they sleep, or the succubus, a demon who assumes a female form and has sex with men in their sleep and drains their life force. Abductees react emotionally like people who have real memories of combat, abuse, and near-death encounters, but most of them are glad they had the contact with the extraterrestrials. Some say they feel released and pleased to have been chosen to take in part in hybrid breeding programs. Most of them, say McNally, ultimately interpret their experience as spiritually transforming. And that is what I will be discussing this week on this episode of Paranormally Speaking. I'm your host, Neil Parks. I'll be back after this message.
T-Mobile believes customers deserve to get more without paying more. Everything from entertainment benefits like Netflix on Us to travel benefits to Scam Shield protection, all with taxes and fees included. So the price you see is the price you pay. When you're a T-Mobile customer, you get over $225 in value every month in benefits with our Max Family plan.
That's like paying for nosebleed seats and getting to sit in the front row.
That's right. At T-Mobile, your family gets over $225 worth of value and benefits with our Max plan each and every month. Plus, with our price lock guarantee, we won't raise your rate plan price for talk, text, and data ever.
That's like paying for a cab and getting a stretch limo.
At T-Mobile, you get value beyond the expected.
Qualifying service required. Value based on included monthly benefits. Sales tax and regulatory fees included in Max's monthly price. Price lock guarantees rate price of talk, text, and data for new accounts with qualifying service. Exclusions apply. See details at T-Mobile.com.
And now I continue with the ever enigmatic alien abduction that took place 51 years ago now at the Pascagoula River. And that was in Mississippi. Two men abducted by aliens while fishing on the Pascagoula River. Now a 51-year-old legend. These two men, Charles Hickson and Calvin Parker, have passed away. With Parker dying just 2 months ago, despite their deaths, the legends do live on. Calvin Parker claimed he was abducted by aliens on the river in 1973. "I wasn't there. I don't know, but something happened," said Rebecca Davis, Pascagoula resident. "It happened there in Pascagoula on October 11th, 1973. Exactly what happened on the Pascagoula River is still being debated around town. It piques your curiosity. You want to know if it's true, if there really is something out there," said Grant Fair, Jackson County resident. "Do I believe they're just coming and picking up random people in the middle of the night? Not really," said Dwight Watkins, Pascagoula resident. As a child, Rebecca Davis first heard about what's now called the best documented case of alien abduction. "I just remember my friend's dad putting aluminum foil in the windows, and that intrigued me," said Davis. "I asked him why he was doing it, and he said, so the aliens can't get to our brains." Rebecca then went home and asked her grandparents about it, and I asked what was going on. "What about this UFO?" asked Davis. "I was told, hush, child. We don't talk about that." She didn't talk about it until many years later when Rebecca was cleaning out her grandmother's house and found old newspaper clippings about the alleged abduction. Also staying silent for decades was Calvin Parker. He didn't talk publicly about the encounter until 2018 when he released the book, The Closest Encounter, My Story. In 2018, Parker said, "We got abducted, took aboard, we got examinations, and then we got put back. Parker later wrote another book, and with the encouragement of Rebecca over the next 5 years, Calvin told his story to whomever would listen. He didn't have a lack for not talking. The man could talk, said Davis. I think he hungered for that human acceptance. A historical marker now overlooks the site of the alleged abduction. With Main Street, Pascagoula, Rebecca led the way for the placement of the landmark. She also organized the start of what's now an annual community celebration of the story every October. Sounds a lot like the Mothman Festival in Point Pleasant that happens every September. The community embraced him, and he needed that, Davis said. He needed some closure to a part of his life that he left. Parker and Hickson first told their story to the Jackson County Sheriff's Department, and their accounts were recorded. From the time of those recordings in 1973 until their deaths, the story stayed the same. I just don't know how you can make things like that up that are in these books and the detail they're in, said Davis. That would take way more than some imagination. Charles Hickson and Calvin Parker may not be around anymore to tell this story, but that doesn't mean the conversation will stop. I don't think this story will ever die. I don't, said Davis. The incident on the Pascagoula River 50 years ago may always be a mystery, but the legend is a convincing one for Rebecca Davis. Believe it or not, but I choose to believe. The annual Closest Encounter celebration happens every October from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Friday through Sunday, and it's normally the third weekend of the month in downtown Pascagoula. You should check it out if you're in the Mississippi area, or if you like to travel, that would be a good hotspot. Apparently, he was genuinely scared. He went on to say, he was telling Charlie, don't talk to the deputies. They'll come back and get us. They didn't make it up. I can guarantee that. It has been, like I said, 51 years since Calvin Parker and Charles Hickson contacted the Jackson County Sheriff's Office claiming they were abducted by aliens. Recently, a recording said to be made that night of what they told Sheriff Fred Diamond and Captain Glenn Ryder has surfaced. It was about the time the coronavirus hit in 2020. Parker of Moss Point said of when he received two copies of the recording, I'd been talking with him on the internet and he just showed up at my house. Parker explained the man who gave him the copies of the recording was an officer with the Pascagoula police on the night of the abduction when it occurred, but does not want to identify the man. Parker said the officer was involved because he fielded roughly 50 phone calls that night from people claiming to have seen something unusual in the sky, the same night these two men were abducted. When I sat down and listened to it, it hit me how real all of it was, Parker said. It kind of choked me up a little bit. I'd never actually heard the recordings, not the full recording, just the pieces where Charlie and I were locked in a room and they walked out. I was surprised they had the whole thing on tape the entire time. At the time, Parker said, he did not know there was a recorder in the room. I had no idea, Parker said. Apparently, Charlie didn't either. They hid all of them. The interview took place on October 11, 1973, after Parker and Hickson claimed they were abducted by aliens while fishing from the bank of the Pascagoula River. News of the event thrust the two into the media spotlight and put the town of Pascagoula on the map. It was unwanted attention for Parker, who tried to distance himself from it. However, events in Parker's life led him to feel he needed to tell his story, and he published a book in 2018 detailing his experience. Once again, the event became the center of attention for many of the Clarion Ledger published stories about the book and other people claiming to have witnessed unidentified objects in the sky that same night. Now this 51-year-old story continues with the release of the interview recordings. It was a blinding light. In a 2018 interview with the Clarion Ledger, Parker said he noticed blue light reflecting off the water, and his initial thought was law enforcement officers had arrived to tell the two fishermen they needed to leave the property. However, when Parker looked up, he realized the light was coming from a craft like nothing he'd ever seen. A big light came out of the clouds, Parker said. It was a blinding light. It was hard to tell with the light so bright, but it looked like it was shaped like a football. I would say, just estimating, it was around 80 feet in diameter. Very little sound was made from it. It was just like a hissing noise. Parker and three legless creatures said three legless creatures floated from the craft. One had no neck and gray wrinkled skin. Another had a neck and appeared more feminine. Parker described their hands as being shaped like mittens or crab claws. When one of the creatures put out its claws around his arm, Parker said he was terrified, but then another feeling came over his body. "I think they injected us with something to calm us down," Parker said. "I was kind of numb and went along with what they were doing." Parker said that the creatures held his and Hickson's arms and floated them into the sky, into the aircraft, where examinations were performed on the two. Then they were returned to the bank of the river. After some debate, the two decided they needed to alert authorities and ended up in an interview room at the sheriff's office. During the interview, Parker remained silent, something he regretted when he listened to the recordings. "I was wishing I'd really opened up to them and told them everything," Parker had said. "I couldn't resist them," Hickson, who has since died, tried to explain during the 1973 interview what happened when he saw, including going to the craft. "And they glided me into that thing," Hickson said. "You know how you just glide somebody? You just kind of push them along? All of us moved like we were floating through the air. When I got in there, they had me, you know, they just kind of had me there. There were no seats, no chain. They just moved me around. I couldn't resist them. I just floated, felt no sensation, no pain. They kept me in that position a while. And then they raised me back up." Hickson also tried to describe a machine he thought was used for medical examination. "No, it wasn't like an X-ray machine," Hickson said. "There ain't no way to describe it. It looked like an eye, like a big eye, and it had some kind of attachment to it. It moved, it looked like a big eye, and when it came over my body and up and down, it just then left me." Hickson answered many questions and described the aliens as being about 5 feet tall with a single leg and a foot-like appendage without toes. He said they had what appeared to be ears and a nose and a mouth, but none of the features looked human to him. He said he was so scared that he couldn't remember if they had eyes. He also said he couldn't remember details about leaving the craft, only Parker's reaction. "The only thing I remember is that kid, Calvin, just standing there," Hickson said. "I've never seen that sort of fear in a man's eyes as I saw in Calvin's. It took me a while to get back and to get him back to his senses, and then the first thing I told him was, 'Son, ain't nobody gonna believe this. Let's just keep this whole thing to ourselves.' Well, the more I thought about it, the more I thought I had to let some officials know." After the questioning, Diamond and Ryder left the room. Ryder was retired and living in Van Cleef and said he didn't believe any of Hickson's stories. "I wasn't really impressed with them," Ryder said. "You have people trying to get notoriety, and I thought they were trying to get notoriety with a spaceship." Well, they didn't make it up. While Parker and Hickson were alone, the hidden recorder was still recording. What was recording changed Ryder's mind. The two talked without fear, sleeplessness, and needing to see a doctor, among other things. At times, it was almost like they were talking to themselves. "God have mercy. I thought I'd been through enough of hell on this earth, and now I've just got to go through something like this," Hickson said. "But they could have, you know, I guess, they could have harmed us, son. They had us. They had done, could have done anything to us. But they didn't hurt us," they said to each other. The two continued talking, and Ryder still remembers Parker's words. "I put them in a room, and the voice-activated recorder, and that convinced me," Ryder said. "When that boy was talking about them things coming back to get us, you had an 18-year-old boy who had never seen anything like that before. He was genuinely scared. He was telling Charlie, 'Don't talk to the deputies. They'll come back and get us.' They didn't make it up, and I can guarantee that." Please hold for an important message from one of my sponsors.
iHeartRadio, the fastest growing music app in the U.S. Why? Because we connect you to all of your favorite music and radio stations in one free app. And this fall, prepare to take control of how you listen to the radio. I'm in control. Replay. That song on your radio you just can't hear enough? Immediately replay and sing along again.
Save. save the music you love on the radio directly to your playlist.
Play.
Search for and play any song on demand.
Skip.
Unlimited skips.
Offline.
Take the music from your favorite stations offline. Introducing iHeartRadio Plus and iHeartRadio All Access. Your radio, now on demand.
There's an alien expert who says they do not come in peace. Malcolm Robinson has researched UFO sightings and alien abductions for decades and is one of the experts in the field. Malcolm Robinson is one of the leading alien experts in Britain and wrote over 10 books on the subject. After analyzing lots of instances connected with aliens during the last decades. While according to him, most alien sightings have relatively simple explanations, Robinson claims that there are still a lot of sightings he simply could not explain. The mystery is real. Talking to the Daily Star, he said, whilst a large proportion of UFOs can be explained away as having natural explanations, only a few remain, and it is too small, 1%, that I and my colleagues worldwide are trying to get to the bottom of. What is in no doubt is that the UFO enigma is real. Very real, in fact. It has been with us throughout time. We see it in Renaissance paintings, old cave paintings, biblical scripture, other religious texts, and strange shapes and entities. They've always existed. When asked about what they could want from us humans, Robinson answered, they have an agenda for sure. We can but speculate. I wouldn't say they are peaceful due to the thousands of UFO abductions worldwide. The renowned researcher was pulled into the world of UFOs when he was 20 years old, when he tried to prove that all sightings were invented, and he failed at that. I started out to disprove these subjects as I honestly felt there was no validity to UFOs. He explained, how wrong was I? Since then, he began to give presentations in Britain, Europe, and the U.S. where he discussed his theories with people like Amanda Holden and Steven Spielberg. Later, he founded the first association for UFOs and paranormal activity in Scotland, Strange Phenomena Investigations, in 1979. When asked how aliens look, in his opinion, Robinson said that the most frequent sightings that are reported don't look different from the creatures we usually see in films and television. These are small childlike creatures about 3 to 4 feet in height, with bluey-gray translucent skin, large pear-shaped heads, and inky black wrapped around eyes. No sign of any genitalia. These small grays are most commonly reported entities seen in close proximity to UFOs. The abductions and his long years of research led him to analyze some dramatic incidents, including the first reported alien abduction that happened on August 17, 1992, where two residents of Edinburgh, Gary Wood and Colin Wright, were supposedly abducted. When he wrote about the incident in one of his best-selling books, Robinson described the pair were subjected to an astonishing and frightening experience which has stayed with them to this day. When they're driving on the A70 road on a stretch described as desolate, they were stopped in front of a two-tier disc-shaped object which looked decidedly out of place, hovering 20 feet above the road. Some say after the pair noticed that they had lost their memory and started to suffer from headaches. After a short while, the expert got involved to analyze the incident and sent the two to hypnosis in order to get a better understanding of what happened that night. That hypnotherapist was Helen Walters, a dear friend of mine and someone who would treat both Gary and Colin with the utmost care, he wrote. During the hypnosis, they remembered that three small entities took them into the flying object and held them there for a certain period. Robinson concluded, their lives may have changed, but they are still the men they were, albeit with a different perspective on life and what we thought we knew.
Fantastic.
Roswell, UFOs, flying saucers, alien abduction. Are we alone? Information regarding this and many other questions about the unknown are only a click away at www.theufostore.com. Theufostore.com offers hundreds of DVDs about UFOs, aliens, crop circles, conspiracies, Bigfoot, suppressed science, ancient mysteries. Log on to www.theufostore.com and request a free UFO Store catalog. Theufostore.com, the largest selection of UFO products on the internet.
Imagine no longer being
being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
That's terrific.
In regards to alien abductions, what are we to make of these bizarre stories? From succubi to aliens, stories of abductions or other unsettling encounters have been with us for a millennia. So what really explains them? Now, key takeaways would be accounts of strange and inexplicable encounters with beings, including sexual encounters. Go back a millennia. Widespread fascination with alien abductions began in the 1950s and continues to this day. The most likely explanation for this phenomenon includes self-hypnotic trances, false memory syndrome, sleep paralysis, or post-traumatic stress. If there is anything confounding about the whole issue of alien abduction, it is the utter conviction of those who claim ETs have taken them into their spaceships, usually during sleep, usually to perform illicit sexual experiments, as in the hilarious Saturday Night Live skit, like the one with Kate McKinnon, Cicely Strong, and Ryan Gosling. For many people, millions in fact, this is serious business, but why? In the U.S., the first popular story of abduction by extraterrestrials was that of Betty and Barney Hill, the couple from New Hampshire that claimed to have been kidnapped and taken into a UFO on September 19, 1961. The Hills' account, however, is the second abduction story that became world famous. The first is from 1957, centered around Antonio Villa Boas, a farmer from rural Brazil. A sensationalist video about the case can be seen on YouTube. Since they were from Brazil, it's no wonder that some of the research is on astrology and the origin of life, because they were spiritualists. And it makes you wonder if that is what attracted them to actually being selected for abduction. It's a strange theory, but it's one that shows over and over again where people who have been abducted normally have, in many cases, don't want to say all of them, have fascinations with the unexplained, the unknown, astrology, the New Age movement. Accounts of alien abduction, according to Vilas Boas, on the night of October 16th, while he was plowing fields with his tractor, he was taken into a spaceship by a group of ETs, measuring about 5 feet tall. He was put in a room and saw gas coming out of the walls. The gas made him very sick. Then a very attractive female alien that was naked with long platinum blonde hair, fire red pubic hair, and deep blue cat eyes came and forced him to have intercourse with her. According to Vilas Boas, her intentions were quite clear: to produce a human-alien hybrid that she would raise on her own planet. After he got back, Vilas Boas noted he had burns on his body. A doctor from a reputable medical center diagnosed them as being radiation burns. This doctor, Olava Fontes, had contacts with the American UFO Research Group, APRO. Vilas Boas had no recollection of how he got the burns. We must wonder whether these aliens are really that smart, given that they keep repeating the same experiment on human anatomy over and over again. The story gained worldwide popularity in the late 1950s. Many believed it with veracity for politically incorrect reasons, claiming that a humble farmer from rural Brazil would not be able to concoct such a tale. In reality, Vilas Boas was neither humble nor uneducated. His family owned large tracts of land. He later became a lawyer and practiced until his death in 1992. No doubt his notoriety helped his career to advance. The overwhelming majority of scientists categorically deny that narratives of abductions have any real component. When told in earnest, most are products of various kinds of abnormal psychological states, from fantasy-prone personalities to self-hypnotic trances, false memory syndrome, sleep paralysis, environmental disturbances during sleep, or some more serious type of psychopathology. Another possibility is a misrepresentation of reality caused by post-traumatic stress, possibly due to some unwanted sexual encounter from the person's past. American researcher and skeptic Peter Rogerson questioned the veracity of Villas-Boas' narrative, and indeed, of many others, arguing that an article about alien abduction had appeared in the popular magazine O Cruzeiro in November 1957. He noted that Villas-Boas' story only started to gain popularity in 1958, and that Villas-Boas could have predated his encounter to give it more credibility. Also, Rogerson argued that Villas and other presumed abductees were influenced by sensationalist narratives of UFOologist George Admonsky, who was very popular in the 1950s for anyone interested in the history of abductions. Rogerson's articles and books, that's an essential read. Most abduction stories have elements in common with that of Villas: kidnapping into an alien spaceship, medical exams that center around the human reproductive system, or explicit sexual contact with extraterrestrials, and mysterious marks left on the body following that. Carl Sagan, in his wonderful book, The Demon-Haunted World, Science as a Candle in the Dark, brings these elements together, arguing for a connection between what abductees now say and what narratives of mysterious sexual night encounters have been saying for ages. There are mythologies dating back to Sumerian folklore of 2400 BCE in which a demon in either male or female form seduces people in their sleep. Saints Augustine and Thomas Aquinas wrote of the incubus and succubus demons that come during sleep to have sexual relations with unwilling humans. Similar stories appear in culture across the world. Villas-Boas, Platinum Blonde, sure fits that bill. Now, the nearest star to Earth is about 4 light-years away. Our fastest spaceship would take some 100,000 years to get there. And an intelligent alien existing, if they were to come here, they must have technologies that are far beyond anything we can imagine, because they must be capable of fast interstellar travel, passing undetected by radar, and leaving without a trace just as fast as they arrived. The feats are even more spectacular considering there are thousands of abductions and UFO encounters, a topic that has been making headlines recently, even more so since the pandemic of 2020. Our government has confirmed that they, whatever they are here, flying around in our skies, defying the laws of known physics, zooming in and out, changing course, variety of shapes and sizes, and they don't know what they are, who's sending them, or what they want. On the other hand, we must wonder whether these aliens are really that smart, given that they keep repeating the same experiment on human anatomy over and over again. Can they not figure out how human biology works, or do they have a perverted side? And are there different aliens coming to Earth? It can't be just one race. If so, how many species are there out there and fixated on us? I find the possibility highly, some would say improbable. I say it's highly likely, considering the vastness of space and how it's ever expanding, that perhaps these beings are interdimensional and able to shift in our reality to an alternate reality without even bending space-time. They have the capability of faster than thought, faster than light, faster than speed itself, faster than a glimpse, of just opening portals, not really bending space-time or traveling X amount of thousands of light years, but they're already here. They've always been here, and they're able to move in and out of our reality because that's how they've been doing it the entire time. Now, whether there are beings in our solar system, beyond our solar system, and in the ever-expanding vastness of space, we would be naive to think otherwise. It's mentioned in several historical texts of encounters with such beings. So this is where I leave you for this episode. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Well, mainly it was one-sided. I was talking, you were listening. But anyway, I hope you learned something about the history and mystery of alien abduction. If ever you have any kind of strange flashes or deja vu or the feelings of losing time or having missing time or forgetting where you have been for a few days, you might want to get checked out and see if perhaps you too have been abducted by aliens, and hopefully not a Mexican drug cartel, and sold into human trafficking. But have a great rest of the week. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Paranormally Speaking. I'm your host, Neil Parks, and I will catch you next time, and stay safe out there.
And few.